If you have your Bibles this evening, I would ask you to turn to Numbers chapter 13, the book of Numbers chapter 13. I've been reading through the Pentateuch in my own personal time with the Lord, and He's really spoken to me, even in some of these passages here. And I'm excited once more about what He's taught me, and I pray that the Lord will challenge us all as He's challenged me, and we will continue to challenge all of us to live for Him. Numbers chapter 13. We're going to break into the reading at verse 26. We're all familiar with the story here, what's going on in the biblical account. This is the time when the children of Israel, they come to Kadesh Barnea. You know, they've come out of the promised land. They've come, you know, through Sinai. God's given them His commandments. He's led them all the way through the wilderness to this place where they send out the 12 spies to go and to spy out the land of Canaan. And it is there at verse 26 that we'll pick up the reading. Verse 26. Let's hear the word of the Lord. And they went, speaking of the spies, and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Speaking of the grapes, you know, the two of the spies went carrying the grapes on that pole. They showed the grapes to him. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight." And we'll continue on into chapter 14. "And the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And the children and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?' And they said one to another, 'Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into the land, and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not.' But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel." And let's just skip down to verse 20 to finish out with just a few verses here. Verse 20, in the meantime, God has spoken to Moses, and He said, "Moses, I'm going to destroy all the people, but Moses, and make of you a mightier nation than they are." But Moses pleads for the people, saying, "Lord, remember your covenant to Abraham, to all the fathers." And now in verse 20, we pick up the reading once more. "And the Lord said, 'I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it.'" But watch this 24th verse. This is where we're going to focus. "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it." The Lord will seal the reading of His precious word. Let's bow for a word of prayer. O Lord, we do thank You for Your mercies to us. We do thank You for the great truth of Your word. Lord, we thank you that we can have absolute confidence in coming to your word, that it is your inspired, infallible truth for us. Lord, we thank you that it speaks and it speaks to every need of our lives. Lord, we pray that you would just meet with us now. Lord, come down and show yourself to us. I pray, Lord, that you would fill me with the Spirit of God, deliver me from the energy of the flesh, give me the energy of the Holy Spirit in which to preach and in which to minister. And Lord, I pray that you would meet with us, Lord, that we would be drawn out after Christ, that we would see more of him. Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for his finished work on the cross. We thank you for his resurrection power, that we have a living, resurrected, interceding high priest. Give us a fresh sight of him tonight. Lord, meet with us. Go with us, Lord, for your own name's sake. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're all very familiar with the story or the passage here in Numbers chapter 13 and chapter 14. We're all very familiar with the biblical account. We all know that God brought those children of Israel out of the land of Egypt with a stretched out arm and with a mighty hand. And he brought them even to this place, to Kadesh Barnea. We all know the story. I believe many of us sang the Sunday school song about the 12 spies. 10 were bad and 2 were good. You know, and we know the story that the 10 spies, the 10 evil spies, brought back that evil report of the land saying, we can't possess it because those giants are in the land. They're taller and they're stronger than we are. But yet Caleb and Joshua stand up for the truth, for the Lord to go into the land and to possess the land. But yet the people fail in disobedience. They say, we can't go up. We might as well just return to Egypt. So we're all very familiar with the truth here in Numbers chapter 13 and chapter 14. But I wonder, has it really struck us what is happening here? Here you have the people. Excuse me, just one second. Here you have the people of Israel that God has brought out. I mean, they saw all 10 plagues in the land of Egypt. They saw the Red Sea parted and they were able to go through on dry land. They saw the Lord go well before them in a pillar of cloud by day and in a pillar of fire by night. They saw all of God's glory, all of God's miracles. They heard him speaking to them at Mount Sinai. They saw all that he had done. I mean, provided manna and quail for them in the wilderness. He had done it's unbelievable, really. I mean, it is believable, but it's almost unbelievable, incredible for us that God has done so much for these people, but yet over and over and over they fail in disobedience. And this one hideous display of disobedience, I mean, it's exasperating to see what these people are doing, to even in their unbelief before God. But there is that one bright spot that we see here, even in this passage, and that's found in verse 24. God says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Caleb was a man who fully or wholly followed after God. He totally followed the Lord's commandment. And this is not just one isolated text in Scripture. Over and over in Scripture, even in the rest of Numbers and Deuteronomy, we have Scriptures that refer us back to what God did, even in Caleb. And I'm just going to share with you some of these Scriptures. Numbers 32, 11 and 12 says this. God says, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed after me, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed after the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 35 and 36, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear unto their fathers. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed after the Lord. And again, Joshua 14, we have another passage that talks about how Caleb wholly followed after the Lord. Or when it uses the word holy there, it's saying he wholeheartedly or he totally followed after God. So you have over and over the reference made to Caleb. And I believe, as God has shown me this, even in the reading of his word, that there's something here for us to learn. There's something in the example of Caleb that God would have to sink down into our hearts. And it is my prayer, my desire, that we would be challenged to wholly follow after the Lord. So that's what I just want to simply consider with you this evening. The essence of what it means to wholly follow after God. And now when we speak of holy following after, that's, you know, it's pretty general topic. It's a pretty broad category. We could talk of holy loving the Lord Jesus Christ with all that we are. We could talk about holy every day reading God's word and applying it to our lives. We could speak of holy continuing in prayer with all that we are. But there are just three simple things that I want to point out in this text, particularly in God's work in Caleb as an example, even in Numbers 13 and Numbers 14, that I believe will challenge us and will rebuke us so that we might wholly follow after the Lord our God. The first thing that I want us to see, even from this passage, is that wholly following the Lord means faithfully looking to God in all things. What you have here in the example of Caleb is the absolute necessity of faith. The difference between, I submit to you that the difference between Caleb and how he wholly followed after the Lord and the rest of the children of Israel and how they, in his generation, how they rebelled against God, it's because Caleb believed the Lord and they did not. I'll prove it to you. You look there in Deuteronomy chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, turn over there to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. And we're just going to read, starting with verse 28. Here Moses is reminding the people of what happened back in Numbers 13 and 14. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, that older generation, the generation of Caleb and of Joshua, they've already died. They've already passed on. And you have the next generation that Moses is here speaking to. He's commanding them to be faithful to the Lord God. But it says there in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 28, "Whither shall we go up?" He's speaking of the attitude of that generation back 40 years before. "Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, 'The people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there.' Then I said unto you, 'Dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes.'" Then skip down to verse 32. Watch this verse. "Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God." What Moses, under inspiration, is saying, he's saying that the reason, or the reason that Caleb wholly followed after God, and that the others of his generation did not wholly follow after God, is because they did not believe the Lord. And Caleb believed the Lord. You have there his example, even in chapter 13. He says there in verse 30 of Numbers chapter 13, Caleb says, "Let us go up at once and possess it," speaking of the land, "for we are well able to overcome it." There in verses 8 and 9. In Numbers 14, Caleb says, "If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." So in all these verses, Caleb is saying, the Lord is able. The Lord has brought us. He looked at what God had done in the past. God's brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm. And he can certainly defeat these big, tall giants over there in Canaan land. God is able to do it. But yet the rest of the people are over here and they do not really believe. They're committing the gross sin of unbelief. So what we see here, the most vital thing in wholly following after God is believing the Lord by faith. And that's what I just like to talk about simply here. I like to make three simple points about faith, about the reality of faith and how it relates to wholly following after God. In the first place, I want to underscore the truth that we cannot begin to follow the Lord at all without true biblical faith. In other words, we cannot be saved apart from faith. We cannot even begin the Christian life without the gift of God and faith. This is one of the most basic realities in all Scripture. If you miss this, you've missed it all. And while tonight I want to be very clear in that this is a message primarily meant for believers, but based on God's word and based on the promises and the truth we have in it, I would be remiss if I did not preach to even those who would be unbelievers here. Because as we know from this one minister that I heard preaching one time, he said, no matter what I'm preaching on, No matter what topic in God's Word or what passage I'm preaching on, I want to make the gospel crystal clear. So it is my desire that the gospel of Jesus Christ would be crystal clear even this evening. So that relates to the essence or the necessity of biblical faith. We must believe the Lord. That's how you even begin to following the Lord. The Lord gives you the gift of faith, as we know from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. We know also from God's Word and Hebrews 11, verse 6, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, you cannot be saved. That is a very clear truth. It's not in anything that you do. It's not in any of your good works, such as going to church or doing the right thing or saying the right prayer or walking the right aisle or being baptized or whatever the case may be. True biblical Christianity teaches, which this truth teaches, that you must be saved by faith in Christ alone. And that is the message that I want to communicate very clearly to all of you here tonight. If you are here without Christ, if you have never known what it is to rest upon Jesus Christ as he is freely offered to you in the gospel, I beg you, I plead with you that you would not leave tonight until you have gotten right with God, until you have come to the place where you realize that I can't do it in my own strength. I cannot work out. Malcolm was just talking about it, how the works of our own righteousness cannot save us, but we must be saved by resting on Jesus alone. And it's not so much the faith that saves us, the instrument of faith. It's the great object of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. As he cried at Calvary, "It is finished." He did all the work that's necessary for salvation. So that's the first thing I want to say about faith, is that faith is absolutely vital for even beginning to follow after God. And again, I reiterate, if you're here without Christ, dear soul, I plead with you not to leave tonight. Don't even go to your bed. Don't think about anything else until you have made right your soul. You have a precious soul. As Malcolm says, it's going to spend eternity in one of two places. Be sure, even tonight, that you are in Christ by faith. The second thing I want to point out about faith is that faith looks at God's mighty works in the past and trusts him for the present and for the future. That's what Caleb was doing in this passage. Caleb looked, he remembered what God had done in bringing, I mean, he remembered all those 10 plagues that God had carried out upon the Egyptians. He remembered how God parted the Red Sea for the children of Israel to go across on dry land. He remembered how God opened up even that rock that Moses smote and water flowed from it. He remembered how God had given them the manna and the quail to meet their needs of sustenance. He remembered how God went before them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He remembered all these things. And he said, okay, guys, the same God that has done all this for us, he is certainly able to do this work, even in defeating the giants. The Lord will fight for us. The Lord will take out those huge buff giants over there across Canaan, in the land of Canaan. He had faith in God. He was looking to what God had done in the past. And so it is with us today. We may face, you know, I don't want to over-spiritualize this, but these giants do represent something. These giants would even represent unbelief in our own lives. Maybe sins. Maybe we look at sin and so often and we're like, will I ever have victory over this sin in my own life? Will I ever be free from this discouragement in my life? Will I ever see this lost soul that I've been praying for? Will I ever see them saved? Will we ever see this church built up and established and families come in? Will we ever see revival? So so often we look at these things. We're like, that's so hard. It's so difficult. Can it be done? I urge you, look at what God has done in the past. We have a God who has done amazing things in the past. And what true biblical faith does, it doesn't look so much at the external circumstances. It looks at what God has already accomplished in days gone by. Look, if you ever get discouraged and really get down, as we all do, we all go through those times where we face discouraging thoughts, where we face doubt, even regarding maybe our own salvation. I urge you to look away to the work of Christ. I urge you to look back to what God has already done. Just as we have the example of Caleb here, look at what God has done in your own heart and in your own life. If he has saved you, if he has washed you in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, if he has given you that perfect, spotless, imputed righteousness, if he has regenerated you by the power of the Holy Spirit and given you faith to believe, what else is he going to withhold? If he's already provided eternal security and salvation for you, there is no blessing. There's nothing in this life that he's just going to withhold from us. He's going to give it to us. And that's what Caleb realized. And that's what true biblical faith is. True biblical faith, it looks at what God has done, at God's mighty works in the past, and it trusts God for the present and for the future. Now, many people in our day have, you know, very interesting views about faith. They say such things as, well, I have faith in myself, or I have faith in you, or I have faith in what in this system, or whatever the case may be. But biblically speaking, faith is not a hope-so mentality. Faith is not an ambiguous feeling, well, maybe it'll work out. But faith is based on, true biblical faith is based on the reality of who God is and of what he is able to do. Remember that Hebrews 11:1 tells us, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is that instrument that conveys the power of God, as it were, even to our lives. That we realize that we don't have an uncertain God. We don't have, it's not a hope-so thing or an ambiguous thing or an unclear thing. But we have a God who has all the power in heaven and in earth. And what we need to pray for is more faith. If we would wholly follow after the Lord, we need true biblical faith. And we need more and more of it. We need, and really what faith is, it's more than just salvation. Yes, faith is inherently involved in salvation, but we need to live by faith every day in our Christian lives. The Christian life is a day by day, faithful, looking away to God and a wholehearted reliance upon him, because he is who he said he is. And he has given us these promises in the word that we complete. And that's the third thing I want to point out. I've already kind of touched on it. True faith not only looks at God's great works in the past, but true faith also takes God at his word and simply believes him and holds him to the promises in the word. He's given us many promises over and over in the scripture. He gave Caleb promises. He gave Caleb the promise, I'm going to give you this land. Even this morning, Dad was preaching on Genesis, the passage there in Genesis that where God made the covenant with Abraham and said, I'm going to bring you and your seed into that promised land. So God had already given them the promise. All Caleb was doing was saying, God, you're going to make good on your word. Remember, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. God's not going to go back on his word. And Caleb believed that, and he wholly followed after the Lord in faith. And I pray that the Lord would give all of us faith. Even those, even any who are here tonight who are lost, I pray that God would give you faith. But I pray for all of us that we would have more faith. To believe God, to take God at his word. Christianity, you know, so often we get into these, you know, just hoping or just, you know, we have a lot of uncertainties in life. And we tend to go on our feelings or on our emotions. And we even relegate our own walk with God sometimes to our feelings and our emotions. But that's not true biblical Christianity. True biblical Christianity, it's simple. Yeah, it's hard, but it's simple. Just trust God. Lean on him. Look to him. Look at what he's done in the past. Count on his promises. Look to him for future blessing. Our God cannot lie, and he's given us great and awesome promises in the word that he's not going to fall back on. That he's not going to fulfill. He will fulfill the promises he's given us in the word. So not only was Caleb a man who wholly followed after the Lord in faith. Secondly, he wholly followed after the Lord in courageously standing up for the name of Jehovah. And that's the second thing we really note about what it means to wholly follow after the Lord. Wholly following after the Lord is not just about relying upon God day by day in faith, but it's about translating even that faith into courageous action. And that's what we see in the example of Caleb. Caleb, I mean, when the people start to go into unbelief here and they start to say, I don't think we can go in and take possession of the land. There in verse 30, it says, Caleb stilled the people before Moses. And he said, let us go up at once. And verse 6, you know, the people of Israel have just gotten done saying, I don't think we can go into this land. Let's just make ourselves a captain and return into Egypt. Then it says there in verse 6 of chapter 14, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. What they were doing was courageously standing for the Lord their God. There is a lesson here for us, because, you know, these were two men in an entire generation. an entire generation of men said, let's just make ourselves a captain and return to Egypt. Let's not lay hold on the promise of God. Let's not go and trust in God that he will fight for us, that he will go before us, that he will wipe out these giants. But let's just go back to the land of Egypt. But yeah, two men, Caleb and Joshua, who courageously maintain the banner of the promises of God and what God has done. And that's what we need today. We need to learn from their example, and we need to courageously stand up for the truth of God. We can just imagine these, you know, the rest of these of this generation saying, well, Caleb and Joshua, you know, it worked to rely upon Jehovah back at the Red Sea. But that's not really relevant today. That's not really current. That's not really the thing going. They didn't care about being popular. They didn't care what people said. What they cared about was being faithful and true to God's word and faithful and true to what God had commanded them to do. And that's what we need to do today, both in our personal lives and as a church. We need to courageously stand up for the Lord God. You see there in verse 4 of chapter 14, what do the children of Israel want to do? They said one to another, let us make us a captain and let us return into Egypt. It is always those who are not wholly following after God, even in the professing church, who want to get as close to the world as they possibly can. Egypt here is a picture of the world. So you have many in the professing church who, when they're not wholly following after God, as I said once more, they get as close to the world as they possibly can. They want to take steps back. Let's start returning to the world. Let's have more of the world's mentality, more of the world's lifestyle, more of the world's attitude. And they forget about the promises of God. And what we're called to do, beloved, is to courageously stand up for the Lord God, even in our day. And that means standing against worldliness. That means looking at our lives very practically, very intensely, and saying here, if this pursuit or this occupation or this use of my time or this entertainment, if it's not leading me to wholly follow after the Lord God, then I ought to reject it and abandon it altogether. Is that a challenging thing to think? Yes, it is. It's very challenging to look at your life and say, whatever I do and however I spend my time, whatever attitude I have, I want to be wholly following after God. But we're called to wholly follow after the Lord. We're called to put off sin. We're called to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So anything that draws us away from that, anything that leads us more and more to worldliness, needs to be put away. And it's not, again, it's not a popular thing. But Caleb and Joshua were here courageously standing for God. And God blessed them, even though they weren't the most popular people. And even you see there in verse 10, it says, all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory, and you have the attitude there of the congregation of the children of Israel. They're like, let's just stone those guys. I don't think anybody has stoned us or tried to stone us yet. So I think we're good. I don't think we're quite as unpopular as they were even in those days. So let's remember that those who will wholly follow after the Lord God are oftentimes not the most popular, are oftentimes those who people think are a little kooky or a little, you know, they're just weird. But let's courageously keep following after God. And even this means something for our church as a whole, because if you look at those other 10 spies in this biblical account, they were the leaders among the people. They weren't just the run of the mill people. They were the leaders, and they were saying, we can't go into this land. Let's just return into the land of Egypt. So there are many leaders, even in the church today, who may be popular enough, but they are, as it were, leading the people of God back into the Egypt of this world. Jesus said as much in Matthew 6, verse 15. He said, beware of false prophets, for they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. So we're called today to recognize that if, no matter how popular a leader may be, if his doctrine does not line up with the word of God, and if his life does not line up with the clear commandments of God in the word, then he can be correctly labeled as an apostate, as a false teacher, and cried out as such, labeled as such by the biblical church. And it is our duty to even courageously stand up for God in that way. In love, yes, but also according to the truth of God. So we've seen that holy following after the Lord means looking to God day by day by faith. And it also means courageously day by day standing and maintaining a stand for God. But thirdly and lastly, we're just going to note that holy following after the Lord means patiently waiting on God for his blessing. To illustrate this point, I just want you to turn over to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. It is in this passage where Caleb is coming to the end of his life, as is Joshua. The children of Israel, pretty much all of that generation, Caleb and Joshua's generation, they've all died out, except for, of course, Caleb, those two men. And they've come into the promised land. They've come into the land of Canaan. They're beginning to kick out the tribes, who the Amorites, the Hittites, the others who were there before them. But look here in verse 6. We're going to read from verse 6 down to verse 14. Here you have Caleb at the end of his life. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua to Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee, in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed after the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, even as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed after the Lord God of Israel. What you have here in this passage is Caleb. He's an 85-year-old man, and he comes to his brother Joshua. He comes to Joshua, the guy that he has stood with for 45 years. And he says, Joshua, it's time for me to take my inheritance that God has promised me. You realize what is happening. This man who faithfully stood for God 45 years ago, he is now recognizing or realizing the benefit of what God had promised him. This is really amazing if you think about it. For I believe Matthew Henry in his commentary said that for 38 years after that incident at Kadesh Barnea, where the people did not believe the Lord, for 38 years the people wandered in the wilderness till that entire generation, apart from Caleb and Joshua, died in the wilderness. And then for another 7 years, here you have Caleb and Joshua leading the people into the land and starting to overcome the giants and the people that were there. So you have 45 years in which Caleb has continued to patiently wait for the blessing of God. He's an old man, but yet he has continued to wait upon. He had to see all the men in his generation die. He had to see them die, fall down, and basically their carcass rot there in the wilderness. But yet, even here at the end of his life, he comes to Joshua and he says, I'm as strong today as I've ever been. And that means something even for us. It's not just, he wasn't just referring to physical strength. He is referring to a spiritual strength that God can give as well. Because he had been looking by faith and feeding upon God, leaning upon God, looking to God throughout those years of wilderness wandering. What does this mean for us? It means that for those who will patiently wait upon God, you may have to wait a long time, but God will fulfill his promise. God is, again, he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. For those who will really believe the promises of God and hold God to his word, he will bless them. And the blessing will be unfathomable. It will be something that we cannot even begin to understand. You have here in Caleb, he says to Joshua in verse 12, Now therefore, give me this mountain. He says, give me this mountain for mine inheritance. And again, this means something even for us. We've prayed for years that the Lord would even give this church, this little church here, even this mountain, even our community, to be able to witness to be able to be a shining light to. We desire lost souls to even be saved in this house, to see sinners saved and built up in the truth of God. We need to continue to pray that, to bring that before the Lord, that He will give us this mountain. It's something for all of us to pray in each of our lives, that we may be facing, as it were, a mountain of doubt. Or a mountain of sin, saying, I can't get rid of this sin in my own life. Or I can't get rid of this doubt that I've been experiencing. Or I can't get rid of this discouragement. Or I've got this lost family member that's yet without Christ. We need to bring the promises of God to Him and plead them. And He will give us, even if we have to wait many years, He will fulfill His promise as He fulfilled it to Caleb. Isaiah 40. Let me find it real quick here. Just want to read one quick verse from Isaiah. If I can find it here. Isaiah 40:31 tells us, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." The reason Caleb did not faint in the wilderness, the reason that he did not fall, as it were, fall over dead as the rest of them were dying and falling over dead, was because he continued to wait upon God. And again, waiting on God, it's not just sitting there twiddling your thumbs. It's living for God. It's living for Him in the place where you are day by day, even as Caleb lived there for 45 years, just waiting upon God and waiting for His blessing, even in the inheritance of His land. But God will make good on His promise. That's what I'd like us to understand. That for those who wholly follow after God, yes, we're going to have to look to God by faith. We're going to have to courageously stand for the Lord God. But the Lord will give us blessing that we cannot even comprehend if we will continue in this race and in this battle. Ernie preached a message at the beginning of the summer that really spoke to my heart. He said in that message that there is a level of spiritual experience. There is a level of the blessing of God that our congregation, even here corporately, that we have not experienced before now. There is a blessing that God is waiting to give us if we will just consecrate our lives entirely to the Lord God. And I believe that that's completely and totally true, even based on what God says in His Word. He says in Jeremiah 29:13, "And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Jeremiah 33 said, another promise, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." God will show us great things. There are things He will show us in our lives day by day. There are things that He's going to show us if we will seek Him actively and passionately and daily and wholeheartedly. He will show them to our families. He will show them even to our church. He will take us to higher ground spiritually. And I believe He will continue to build this work for His own glory. But we have got to seek Him. We have got to be known as a people who wholly follow after the Lord God. That means standing, looking by faith to God day by day. The importance of that cannot be overstated. We must be a people of faith. We must be a people of courage to stand for God, to actively apply His commandments to our lives, to realize if God's word condemns something, then I have to get it out of my life. And we must be those who patiently wait upon God. Christianity is not some sort of short distance sprint. It's a long, long marathon where we have to, day by day, keep looking to the promises of God. Keep looking at what God has promised us in His Word. Keep pleading those promises. Like those are great promises to plead. Even there in Jeremiah and there in Isaiah, there are so many good ones. We need to keep pleading them. And I would just like to share as I close just a simple example of how God answers prayer and how God is real. And He is going to bless us. At camp this summer, I believe I mentioned this in my testimony after camp this past summer. But There was one morning, early one morning, my friend Ben Owen and I, he was on staff there, the same as I was. We went out and we had some burdens on our heart just early one morning. And we just went out together and we said, let's just open our hearts before the Lord and let's just plead with Him. Let's open what the book of God and let's find every promise that we can find and let's just plead it. Let's pray it to the Lord. And we did that. We did that for about an hour that morning. Not for our credit, but we were pouring out our hearts to the Lord. And we had some very specific burdens on our hearts. One of those specific burdens was even the salvation of Evan Massey. We were praying that morning, Lord, will you not save that precious soul? Will you not save that young man? Well, that night, after the service, Ben got the chance to talk to Evan about his soul. And that night, God graciously stepped down and saved Evan. And that is a token for good. Ben and I take that. Even we've had conversations even in recent days saying that's a token for good. God is able to do great and mighty things that we don't even know about, that we may not even have the faith to comprehend. But God is able. Remember that. Let's wholly follow after the Lord. Let's hold him to his word. And let's be a people who will wholly follow after the Lord God as Caleb did. Let's bow for prayer. Oh, Lord, we do thank you for your truth. Lord, we thank you for the promises in your word. Lord, we thank you that you are our very real and a very present God. Lord, we thank you that we don't have some dead idol that we're coming to you. Lord, we thank you that we're coming to the very living God, Lord, who controls the entire universe, Lord, who has all power in heaven and in earth. Lord, I pray that you would teach us to be a people of faith. Lord, teach us to be a people who will wholly follow after you in every area of our lives, that we would courageously maintain the standard of the gospel in our lives day by day. And Lord, I pray that we would patiently wait upon you for great blessing, even revival blessing in the days to come. And Lord, we pray that if there are any lost souls or even gathered with us tonight, Lord, that you would break through, that you would point them and show them Christ. Lord, he has freely offered to them in the gospel. Help them to lay hold on him by faith. Lord, continue to meet with us. Bless our time of fellowship this evening. Lord, we pray these things for the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ alone.